Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand. 'Cause I got a hand for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, as I was saying before I was interrupted, if you're just joining us, we are preempting your regularly scheduled encore episode of Celebrity Family Feud to bring you this special report. I'm happy to be here tonight with you.
Yeah, so in many markets, but of course not in our market, because our ABC affiliate channel 3WEAR is a Sinclair-owned station. Sinclair and Nexstar decided not to air the return of the king? Anyway, the return of Jimmy Kimmel to late-night TV last night. It's available now. You can watch it on YouTube if you want to. You know, the monologue is available at the Jimmy Kimmel channel. So I watched it this morning. I got up and watched it. It's about, God, his monologue is like 25 minutes long. And I watched the first 17 minutes of it. And I'll just tell you, I agreed with the first 17 minutes of it. I did get to one part where he started talking about some of the things that we have in common. I'm like, nah, nope, we don't. But that's okay. Most of it he was spot on about, talking about coming back, talking about having hosts in, you know, all kinds of hosts reach out to him, current, former, everybody, including even people in other countries.
Conan O'Brien, James Corden, Arsenio, Kathy, Wanda, Chelsea, even Jay reached out. I heard from late night hosts in other countries, from Ireland and from Germany. The guy in Germany offered me a job. Can you imagine? This country has become so authoritarian, the Germans are like, come here.
Come for your freedom to Germany. And I actually, you know, what have I said? I basically said what Ted Cruz said, which is Jimmy Kimmel, I can't stand his show. I don't watch his show almost ever. I'll shed no tears from him ever going off the air. I'm sure we could find better content. In fact, the Channel 3 was airing some news broadcast last night. I'm sure it was much better. Well, not last night. Most nights, it would be better, okay? Last night, pretty poignant. But, you know, he has a right, as I believe, absolutely, under the First Amendment. And the last thing we should have is a federal government that's threatening people on the basis of content for their broadcast licenses, especially over politics. It's the last thing that the FCC chairman or the president or anybody should be doing. Anyway, so he took time to basically thank people like me. Now, not me. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel doesn't have any idea who I am. That's fine. But there were a handful of people who are kind of on our side of the aisle, on the conservative side of the aisle, Republicans, who stood up for him. You know, Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson and a few others.
Maybe most of all, I want to thank the people who don't support my show and what I believe, but support my right to share those beliefs anyway.
By the way, you could tell that for a lot of this, he's pretty on the edge of, like, losing it emotionally, which is understandable. You know, when you feel your livelihood threatened and you feel like you haven't been able to maybe explain yourself fully and you worry about the future, and also you feel like these are bigger, important issues, and they really are, and then all of a sudden, you know, you can think, oh, it's going to be fine. I'm going to get out in front of my people, and then they're going to applaud you, and it's overwhelming. I mean, it's an emotional moment for him. And he actually did kind of break down at one point. I'll play that in a minute. But anyway, he said thanks to the people who disagree with him. But the people who protect would stand up for him. As I've said once, I've said a thousand times, you know, I hate what you're saying, but I would defend to the death your right to say it. Those are the people who believe in this country, believe in the First Amendment, believe that God gave us all freedom of conscience and freedom of speech. And he said, Ted Cruz.
Who I never would have imagined. Like Ben Shapiro, Clay Travis, Candace Owens, Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, even my old pal Ted Cruz, who, believe it or not, said something very beautiful on my behalf.
I hate what Jimmy Kimmel said. I am thrilled that he was fired.
Oh, wait, no, not that. The other part.
But let me tell you, if the government gets in the business of saying,
what you
we
can
don't
can't
like
say.
What you, the media, have said, we're going to ban you from the airwaves if you don't say what we like, that will end up bad for conservatives.
I don't think I've ever said this before, but Ted Cruz is right. He's absolutely right. This affects all of us, including him. I mean, think about it. If Ted Cruz can't speak freely, then he can't cast spells on the Smurfs.
He does kind of look like Gargamel.
Even though I don't agree with many of those people on most subjects, some of the things they say even make me want to throw up. It takes courage for them to speak out against this administration, and they did, and they deserve credit for it, and thanks. For telling their followers that our government cannot be allowed to control what we do and do not say on television, and that we have to stand up to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's mandatory. I mean, really, it's, you know, it's kind of funny. Again, I know he doesn't know who I am, but he's saying thank you for basically what I've been saying for the last week, or gosh, yeah, about a week. And but I don't. To me, it wasn't really a choice. I mean, if you've been listening, and you know, I've talked about this a lot. I don't have the option. There's no other option here. No, it's fine. You know, get rid of him. I mean, it's just. Federal government involved in censorship and content control. Ah, sure. Cool. You know, like that's not within the realm of available options. That's why it's such an easy call to make to say that Trump and Brendan Carr and Pam Bondi and anybody else who said this is good were wrong. Seriously wrong. Oh, and by the way, this is the last one I'll play for him for now. But I thought it was actually there's two, but you'll see. I know some people, when they hear what I'm about to play, they're going to think that this is some performance. I don't think so. Look, I think some pretty negative things about Jimmy Kimmel. But this, to me, seemed very genuine. You know, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, it's possible. But I take him at face value in these comments. Probably the most important things that he said last night.
I've been hearing a lot about what I need to say and do tonight. And the truth is, I don't think what I have to say is going to make much of a difference. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. I have no illusions about changing anyone's mind. But I do want to make something clear.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not watching him tonight. I mean, that's, you know, this is a one-time event, right?
Because it's important to me as a human. And that is, you understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man. I don't think there's anything funny about it. I posted a message on Instagram on the day he was killed, sending love to his family and asking for compassion, and I meant it, and I still do. Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed individual. That was really the opposite of the point I was trying to make, but I understand that to some that felt either ill-timed or unclear, or maybe both. And for those who think I did point a finger, I get why you're upset. If the situation was reversed, there's a good chance I'd have felt the same way.
Yeah, you know, all of us who speak, especially those of us who speak about sort of controversial things, we all are tempted at times to say things that we will regret later, and all of us do say things that we regret later. I mean, it just is. And, you know, sometimes your better angels are at odds with your worst demons, or your, you know, good judgment or the mood of the moment. And that's also a factor in considering how to evaluate people who say things that are mistakes or worse.
Many friends and family members on the other side who I love and remain close to, even though we don't agree on politics at all. I don't think the murderer who shot Charlie Kirk represents anyone. This was a sick person who believed violence was a solution, and it isn't, ever. And also, selfishly, I am...
Can I tell you why I like that part particularly? Because even though it's almost a formality that it gets said, And I have no idea what they told him he needed to say or didn't say. Maybe they didn't tell him anything he had to say. But I think, you know, if they were smart and he was smart, they probably strategized a little bit about what do you think are some of the key things that it'd be useful to say. Condemning political violence is a useful thing to say. I'm glad he did, precisely because we have people who still, even to this moment, don't regret the things they've said on social media or in person or thought or whatever about Charlie Kirk. And I appreciate that someone who got in trouble for seeming to be sort of in their camp a little is reprimanding them too. Maybe not as sternly as I would like, but he definitely is saying, no, no, that's wrong. And of course it's wrong. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent. Well, there you go, John.
Thank you.
First segment out the gate. I broke my promise.
Well, this was huge.
Yeah, I mean, it was a dumb promise to make yesterday when I said I wouldn't talk about national. I would rather talk about local news, and I have lots of it to cover, and not just local, but stuff that's neither, you know, it's just not big national politics. It doesn't have a big T in front of it, one way or another. You know, Trump's speech at the UN. I watched it. Good Lord. some great stuff. Some absurd
stuff.
Did something
happen with the teleprompter or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's funny that the teleprompter and the escalator were like the big news. I mean, meanwhile, he says he's completely switched his position on Russia and Ukraine, which was also big news, but, you know.
I saw him climbing up the stairs. I was like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And then the teleprompter didn't work for him, and
it was cardio in.
Might have to share that coming back. But I said at the end of the show, I wouldn't do any national news today. I'm like, dang it. Gonna have to. Fine. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And by the way, listen, I'll say what I always say. I'll say what I say often. Feel free to disagree with me. You know, disagree with me here on the text line, 437-1620. You think I'm a genius. You think I'm an idiot. You think, God, Andrew, stop talking about this. Or like, Andrew, thank you for talking. I don't care. You know, whatever. It's your show. If you're listening and you have an opinion, share it with me. It's fine. I appreciate that. And honestly, this is, if you're new to the show or maybe you haven't listened very often, you might think somehow this is not genuine, but this is really genuine. I appreciate the people who disagree with me. I appreciate it less if they're just mean about it, you know, but I still try to listen because they might say something that makes me think. Your friends don't usually say things that make you change your mind because they're too busy agreeing with you, right? But the people who disagree with you, they may say something that I hadn't considered, and I appreciate that. And frankly, I always take it as a compliment that people who disagree with me still find it worth listening. Because, you know, if you say what people agree with, then it's not really that surprising they listen. But if you say things they disagree with and they still want to listen, I mean, like, so that's why I always take hate texts as praise. Because at least you're listening, which is kind of wild. Like, I hate you, but I can't stop. You know, like, oh, okay, cool, you know. Anyway, so feel free to disagree with me. It's always welcome. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Seems like there's more identity theft in the news every day.
Another major healthcare breach was reported today, resulting in the exposure of
sensitive consumers have been a victim of identity.
That's because there are endless places that could accidentally expose you to identity theft in a breach or simply by mistake. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it. Guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. sponsored by Pfizer.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app, to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
But they are pros. They only hang out with each other. Then we must go pro! But going pro's not that easy. It's political, obviously.
It's political, obviously. Oh man, I'm not much of a Jack Black fan, but which is, if you are, that's fine. Of course, you know, everybody has different tastes. Every movie Jack Black is in is going to have at least a handful of great quotes, and even that one from Nacho Libre. It is political, obviously, not from him, but from his partner. Oh, that's a goofy movie. All right, 5:25 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David, is your teleprompter working today?
It's not. All I get is a broken escalator and this teleprompter that doesn't work.
If we hadn't been in good shape, we would have fallen down. It was funny. I mean, that's what he said. It was funny. Anyway, President Trump at the UN yesterday. Go ahead, sir.
You can never say President Trump doesn't give a memorable speech. That's
there you
for
go.
Sure.
That's true.
Well, President Trump did say that the European nations are being invaded and destroyed by illegal immigrants during that speech. He criticized European immigration policies while addressing the UN and told European leaders that their countries, quote, are going to hell, end quote. He warned them that immigration is destroying their nations. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth shutting down the longstanding Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services, saying the panel pushed a divisive feminist agenda. The committee was created in 1951 to address challenges facing female service members. It was already paused as part of a broader Pentagon review of advisory groups. And the interesting one here, a statue featuring President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein has apparently popped up at the National Mall. The statue near the Capitol shows Trump and Epstein holding hands with a plaque, apparently of the note that was from the birthday thing.
The girl body outline note with the poem that he says he didn't write or sign.
Yeah, and apparently they got a permit to put this statue there, so it'll be there through Sunday.
So it's permitted art?
It's permitted art.
Well, I mean, better than vandalism, yeah. I suppose. So that, you know. If you're gonna do a protest, get your papers. You know, make sure your papers are in order. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. You made me. You were saying something, and then the open borders comment. This is a short clip from him yesterday. One of the rare short comments from the 45-minute speech from President Trump yesterday at the UN.
It's time to end the failed experiment of open borders. You have to end it now. Let's see, I can tell you, I'm really good at this stuff. Your countries are going to hell.
I'm really good at this stuff. Your countries, though. God, what? Oh, by the way, 55 minutes, not 45 minutes. Anyway, just a thought. And only because, you know, this is kind of my training in reasoning and logic. So he keeps talking about how bad it is that these horrible people are let in with the open borders policy, right? I mean, that's clearly one of his repeated themes. And so we're going to keep these bad people out of the United States, so they don't do bad things in the United States. And Europe, your countries are going to hell because you're letting the bad people come into your countries. And when they come into your country, they do bad things. Okay, let's think globally about this for just a second. Let's imagine, I'm making up a number, let's imagine there's 1 million bad immigrant people, criminals, whatever in the world. I pick any number, it doesn't matter to me. It could be 10 million, I don't care, okay? But let's imagine that there are 1 million really bad, dangerous immigrant-type people in the world. And let's imagine that United States and Germany and Turkey, all of the countries that he's talking to, close their borders effectively and either prevent the 1 million from coming or expel the 1 million who are already there. What will that do for those countries? Well, it'll prevent the negative activities of 1 million people. So we won't have the murders and the DUIs and the armed robberies and whatever in the United States and Germany and Turkey, and right? Which is great for us. But you still have a million bad people somewhere, right? I mean, if they're not here, they're there, which means that there will be crimes there. So just kind of thinking it through logically, simply closing the border only helps the destination countries and doesn't help the countries of origin who are left to suffer the consequences of having, you know, the criminals. And again, it's good for the destination countries, but it's bad for the origin countries. And so if you're talking to the entire world globally, and you're talking about the global problem of criminals, closing borders doesn't actually solve anything in totality. Because Europe and the U.S. are minus a million criminals, but Mexico and Venezuela and Nigeria are up a million criminals. And so the net from a world perspective is nothing.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The relationship much better today between President Trump and his counterpart from Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky, than it was in that Oval Office dust up at the end of February. Zelensky on Fox's special report.
I think we have a better relation than before.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson with more.
Russia continues to occupy about 20% of Ukraine. On social media yesterday, Trump said he now thinks Ukraine is in a position to take back all of that territory and called Russia a paper tiger.
Jimmy Kimmel back in front of the camera, but without a full apology for his misleading comments about Charlie Kirk's assassination that led to his brief suspension by ABC. Many did miss the show since broadcasters Nexstar and Sinclair did not carry the program. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 71 degrees in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. An abandoned home on Gulf Beach Highway and Harris Street caught on fire last night. Escambia Fire Rescue crews were on the scene battling that fire about 10:30 last night. Nobody was found inside the house. No injuries were reported. Right now, there's no word on what started the fire. A display at Fort Pickens highlighting its role in the Underground Railroad has apparently been temporarily removed, citing a miscommunication as officials have been navigating federal guidelines under President Trump's executive order to review historical displays. The Gulf Islands National Seashore spokesperson Stephanie Stedenza says the sign, which tells a story of enslaved couple Henrietta and Peter Dyson, will be restored this week, along with a new display that's planned for next year. The removal comes as part of a broader trend in which federal parks have been urged to minimize narratives focusing on America's history of slavery and discrimination. Local resident Tom Garner called that removal disgraceful and emphasized the importance of accurately representing history. The Santa Rosa Island Authority Board is set to vote on a proposal to expand security camera installations across Pensacola Beach during its meeting today. The initiative builds on their previous agreement with the sheriff's office, adding 14 new multi-sensor cameras in key locations, including at the Casino Beach parking lot and in the boardwalk area. The overall project is expected to cost around $200,000, with the county contributing just under $200,000 of that. If approved, the sheriff's office would oversee the bidding process for a contractor to complete the installation. Local lawmaker behind an effort to help veterans facing legal issues, State Senator Don Gates, filing a bill last week to require veterans treatment courts in every judicial circuit. Treatment courts allow veterans accused of certain crimes to avoid jail time and get treatment for addiction. Some of the courts have already been established. Senator Gates says they've worked very well to give veterans a chance for redemption. He also tells Channel 3 that the courts would save money and lives and also, of course, create jobs. It is 5:34 here at News Radio. New cruise line headed to the port of Pensacola. And this story from News Radio's Chris Bryan. He says it'll be here in the next year.
American Cruise Lines is coming to Pensacola. They'll be docking in March 2026. The itinerary will take passengers from Pensacola to New Orleans or vice versa for an 8-day, 7-night excursion. The ship makes 4 other stops between Pensacola and New Orleans, Mobile, Biloxi, Ocean Springs, and Gulfport, Mississippi. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. 74 degrees. Let's get a look at our Channel 3
this
forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a beautiful day in store today with a 20% chance of a stray shower, high near 87. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77 degrees. For Thursday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Friday, another 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 86. And by Friday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Jimmy Kimmel Live has returned to air roughly 1 week after the late-night show was suspended by Disney's ABC broadcast network. The program was initially pulled indefinitely following Kimmel's comments regarding the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Both Nexstar Media and Sinclair, who own ABC affiliates, said they will keep Kimmel off their stations as discussions continue. Alibaba shares have surged more than 9% to reach their highest point since 2021 after the company said it will invest more in artificial intelligence and rolled out new AI products and updates. Shares of the company have gained 107% year to date. OpenAI and Oracle are betting big on America's AI future, bringing online the flagship site of the $500 billion Stargate program in Texas. The site is the first of the Stargate program to come online and is up and running with Oracle Cloud infrastructure and racks of NVIDIA chips. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Making it to work on time? No points. Holding the door? Still no points. Remembering trash day? You guessed it, no points. But with the Penn Air Rewards MasterCard, you can get 20,000 points and no balance transfer fees for opening a new card and doing your everyday shopping. Every swipe after? More points, more rewards, more reasons to swipe. Start earning today at pennair.org/creditcards. 20,000 bonus points awarded to new rewards cardholders after the qualifying spend in the first 90 days, insured by NCUA.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app.
Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games
Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. the News Radio Pensacola app, and get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 5:39 here on News Radio 92.3. We'll get to the sheriff in just a second, our interview from yesterday. But before that, I want to let you know there was a really bad bicycle car accident on South Davis, just on the north side of I-10 in the southbound lanes. You know, the two lanes that are the through lanes. There's the turn lanes that go to westbound 10, but there's the southbound lanes, and there was a an SUV hit a bicycle, and the bicyclist was transported to the hospital. And in fact, John, you drove right through there when it after it had happened. You kind of saw the results. It looked pretty horrifying to you.
It did.
Yeah,
it
really
did.
You made sure somebody was there. You were on your way to work, but you made somebody was there, and you called. You actually called 911.
I did.
Yeah,
so. I did. I mean, I drove up on it, and someone had passed it, but stopped and was running back toward me.
And you asked them if they could stay, and
right.
Great. But wow, horrible. For you, if you're driving that vicinity, I'm told. By Channel 3, that the I think he means the westbound ramp is closed, so I don't think you can
right,
get on I-10 at that point.
Like
it's right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's right there where that split is.
And I don't know how much traffic is even able to get through. It looks like the southbound lanes on Davis are pretty choked up right now, which is unusual all the way back to at least the Shell station south of Olive. So just an FYI from a traffic perspective, if you're in that vicinity, you might want to take a different route if you can. There aren't a lot, right? There's like, 9th Avenue or something. But
anyway,
just be aware that that's going on this morning and certainly be praying for this person that was hurt. All right. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk to our good friend Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to Escambia County, where nothing ever really happens, right? Nothing interesting?
A lot of good things happen. There's some weird things
there's
happening.
There's some weird things happening.
Well.
Let's start with this. I know last time we spent the whole time talking about guns, and we will not this time. We have too many things to get to. But you had wanted to talk about this, and I agree. There's been, I don't know if you remember, the first day after the news about the First District Court of Appeals came out, and I went on the air and talked about, here's what the gun statutes say, here's what's gone away, here's why I think this is confusing, because now it's not clear where you can carry guns. What about a 19-year-old? All the things that were built around the old scheme of concealed carry regulation and no open carry, well, now what do? And lo and behold, now we've got like PPD says no 18 to 19-year-olds. You and Santa Rosa say yes 18 to 19-year-olds. PPD and Santa Rosa are saying not in restricted locations like government buildings. You are allowing in government buildings. So can you just talk about some of the unclarity that now exists in the law because of the fallout of this opinion?
Yeah, well, it's that simple. And I know, again, we've talked a lot about this, and we have been dealing with this for weeks now because it's very important. And there are scholars that give me different opinions, mm-hmm. their opinions, but I'm a constitutionalist. Let's see what the Constitution said. The letter matters to me. So what we've had in the past, we had an open carry statute that prohibited open carry, and we had a concealed carry statute. Actually, it was an older concealed carry statute because it dealt with licensing, which is no longer required to
right.
be a concealed carry. However, on the concealed carry side, that statute, there were 15 exemptions. You could not carry it in these locations to include courthouses and police departments and
bars and
schools and all that sort of thing.
Meetings of the legislature, right.
Right. So we had these two statutes. The District Court of Appeals has ruled against the open carry.
Struck it
that
down.
That left us with the concealed carry. Well, a concealed carry was never intended to dictate what happens with open carry. So that's the conundrum here. A lot of people are saying, well, those exemptions still apply, even though they're on a concealed carry statute, even though it was for a licensed concealed carry individual. I don't happen to see it that way. I think that there are concerns with regards to borrowing exemptions from a statute that doesn't apply. So my question is this. If someone were to walk into the lobby of the sheriff's office with an open carry, and we say, you're going to have to leave, and they say, no, I'm not going to leave, what would we charge them with? What would the charge be? We can't, in my mind, we can't charge them with a concealed carry. They're not concealed carry.
They're not violating the exceptions in the concealed carry permit because they're not concealed carrying.
Right, and the District Court of Appeals says you can't open carry, so there's no exemptions there. Now, I want to make sure that everyone understands. There's still private property. You can still determine where who comes to your property and with
businesses, homes, whatever
firearm. And there's also a separate prohibition for carrying in primary and secondary schools. So you can't carry in schools. You can't carry in detention facilities. Obviously, you're not going to let you go into the jail with guns. And the courthouse is a quasi-detention facility. They have cells underneath, and they have corrections officers, and they just move them up. So that I gather that that is a detention
still facility. Covered.
So you cannot go to courthouse. You cannot go into schools. You cannot go to airports because that's federally regulated.
Right.
But the issue that I have is I don't think that there is a statute that would forbid someone from going into a government building to include the meetings of the governing body.
The county commission, right.
The county commission meetings. Now, what's strange about my interpretation, to me at least, and to some others that know me well, is that I'm not necessarily a proponent of open carry.
Right.
However, I am a proponent of the Constitution. And the Second Amendment is pretty clear. Right to bear arms, and if there's no prohibition against it, then you can go wherever, except for these exceptions. So that's kind of where we are. We would hope that people would kind of there obviously is a time period where the legislation has to catch up to
right.
it. You know, and I'm assuming that in January session that the legislature will look at this and add these exceptions that were in the concealed carry to an open carry a state statute, and then that will make it easier for everyone. But right now, I will tell you that there are many, many differences throughout the state of Florida with regards to sheriff's offices, with regards to police departments, with regards to state attorney's offices and prosecutions, which ones apply, which ones do not apply. I just think it's the letter of the law matters and the Constitution matters, and I'll side with a person's right to bear arms.
And I had the exact same concerns day after we talked with Alex Andrade about this and the need to remedy some of these things in statute through legislation. I actually thought we maybe have an emergency session to solve this problem. Mm-hmm. He didn't think it was that imminent. I've been kind of on this same track for a long time, but a lot of folks have been saying can't carry it in the prohibited locations, which I think is kind of wishful thinking. We know we don't want people carrying in those places, so or at least many
people
don't.
And we can ask that they not.
Yeah, and we can say, please don't, but, you know, it doesn't really say that, or at least it's unclarity. This is why I thought the Attorney General should have come out with an advisory real quick. You know, here's what the law actually says, and this is why, you know, I mean, you see people like Don Gates has now sponsored a bill that's going to, you know, do some special work with regards to churches, which I don't think the bill accomplishes anything because I think it's already allowed, but I get that this is what it's going to look like. We're going to start to see these bills that make the statutes more clear. I appreciate that. And like you said, I mean, if somebody brought in a gun to your, you know, where you guys are, what would you charge him with? Well, it doesn't really hold. So it's difficult. I mean, you know, sometimes the fallout from a judicial ruling is a challenge. I appreciate that. I know somebody texts in military bases. Well, that was never even part of it because they totally self-regulated. Federal law, right. Can't take a gun on the base, period. That's, not even an issue. Okay, so some of the things that have happened in the last week, lots of incidents, and, you know, you and I didn't talk 2 weeks because of this, but let's start with this. We had shots fired at Quietwater Beach over the weekend, I think Saturday, and a car got hit with a couple of bullets or one bullet or something.
Yeah, this was a strange one. We got a call around early in the morning, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. A security guard at a nearby hotel said they thought they heard gunshots.
Okay.
We get there. Since there was no direction on where the gunshots came from, it was difficult. It was pretty much almost no one out there. So we weren't able to find anything. So about 6 hours later, someone found us that they have a bullet hole, there you go, in their car.
I'm picturing the shape of a gun,
A hole
in through the front quarter panel. What a funny
shot.
Mark that would look. Look at what I found, Martha. That
Someone's
looks like
car
a Colt.
Got shot.
No, that's a Ruger. Anyway, sorry, sir. Go ahead.
So we started looking at it, and there's some video here and there. And what we can gather is there was what was described as a large fight at a parking garage in downtown Pensacola, and then that fight led to someone getting beat up, as I understand it. And then these two groups ended up near the boardwalk in Pensacola Beach.
Okay.
And at one point, an individual was engaged in a conversation. As he drove off, he fired out the window and ended up striking two cars.
Two different cars.
Yeah,
okay.
Two different cars got hit with gunshots. And that's where we are. We've talked to the people that own the car. We don't have a victim that was hit, thankfully. And we're still trying to figure out. As you know, we have a number of cameras, license plate readers at the beach. Mm-hmm. We were pretty quick to identify the potential cars that are involved in this. But as of yesterday afternoon, we were still working to gather as much information as we can, trying to figure out exactly who fired the shots.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a time and a rough make, you know, appearance of the car, you can do a lot with those license plate readers. So that's, you know, I see the value. We also had, I think it was on Friday, and it's been reported as a dice game on West Lakeview Avenue in North T that there was a man shooting shots and stealing money and something like this. What actually happened?
Kind of that's what happened. The kids were playing, I guess they were playing some sort of a game. Let's go with dice game.
Okay.
And someone comes up to them and decides to take the money from them.
Okay.
Let's just say a grown-up, and then there's teenagers playing dice. A grown-up comes up from another area and just takes your money. This person is confronted by the mother of one of the kids, and then the individual shoots a couple rounds into the air and flees.
Okay.
That's where we're at. We are investigating it. Obviously, we don't want people to be stealing.
Right.
We don't want kids playing dice either. So there's a lot of things to deal with here, and that right now it's still under investigation, and we have a suspect, and we have at least a nickname of an individual that's responsible. So our guy's going to dig into it, and I have a lot of confidence that when they start digging into something, we'll
figure it out. Okay. I know I had a coworker mention me. He's like, dice game? Kids play dice? And I'm thinking, and what I'm thinking is, well, they're practicing math at least. I mean, you know, they got that going for them. I don't know if they're pitching pennies or what they're doing, but you know.
Shoots and ladders.
Yahtzee.
I don't know what it is.
Okay. It could be any kind of dice game, I suppose. All right. You also had a pretty serious incident, last Wednesday, I think, a 17-year-old shot multiple times. Kramer and Untrainer, I would say that name wrong. Three individuals sitting Untrainer, in a vehicle near the Untrainer. Is that how you say it? Okay, thank you. What happened here?
Well, there were two people in the front seat of a car. There's one person in the back seat of a car, and then there's an individual that approached them. They were just parking. They were parked in that location on their phones, playing video games, whatever they're doing. And then a guy comes from the outside, and he's arguing with the driver. And then at one point, the person in the back seat tries to de-escalate. And that ended up where the guy from the outside of the car shot into the car and struck him several times. He's actually 18 years old.
Okay.
But they're non-life-threatening. We are working it. We have a suspect in that case, and we're actively looking to have a discussion with that individual.
Mm. It's still scary, scary, scary stuff. You guys were approaching somebody who was suspected of being a sexual predator. And when your deputies were approaching him, I wasn't sure if this was a SWAT incident or not. He tried to kill himself.
Yeah. You know, there's some weirdos out there, and some of those people, when we approach them, they panic a bit.
They freak
out.
And
in this case, we did. We knocked on the door. We're trying to get a hold of him. I'm assuming that he understood the gig was up and tried to take his own life. And that's where we're at. So we still have active cases on him for the molestation and what, you know, bad behavior that he had been taking place over the last couple of years, but he's done some serious damage to his.
Mm. Okay, you also had a case where there was a guy driving around apparently exposing himself a couple of different times to teenage girls. Is that right?
Yeah, we were getting a couple of calls.
This is like this yesterday.
We arrested him yesterday.
Yeah, okay.
It's happened. There's two different dates.
Okay, earlier. It was in August, I think, early in August.
Yeah, I think it was. Well, it happened in the 4th of September and the 9th of September.
Thank you.
So a couple times, but two different times. The ages of the victims are, I think, 9 to 15 years old. So these are old enough kids to be able to identify an individual and what nonsense he's doing. We don't typically talk about these things, but this weirdo is pulls up, and then he's exposing himself, and he offers an amount of money for an individual, you know, for a kid to watch him, and it's just completely ridiculous, and some other things he's saying. So our analysts and our investigators, as you know, we have a pretty robust real-time crime unit. We call it StarNet, but they're interchangeable, obviously. And so we were looking to put whatever vehicle at the scene at the time, and lo and behold, we're able to find this type of car at that place at that time. And sure enough, the suspect who matches the description, and you could see the picture on our Facebook page, pretty unique characteristics on this individual. And lo and
like
behold,
Roman
he has a
Roman numeral
just
neck,
like that.
Neck tats, I think, was one of the things that I noticed. So,
yes, that's exactly
identifying marks, you know.
Well, and again, it matches what the kids were saying.
Yeah.
And then we find he has a car just like the car that we see in some of our technology that is in and around that area. So we're able to identify him, put his butt in jail, and hopefully he stays there for a while. And we also ask if anyone else has an issue or had an issue. These people don't typically do it once.
Yeah.
They'll do it a time or two.
Well, whatever motivates them to find this entertaining or satisfying is not going to be the one time is not enough, of course.
It's a sickness.
It is.
I don't know what, you can't possibly put yourself in that position, and why you would do this sort
Unbelievable.
Of thing. So.
Two more quick ones. One is the tire store had a break-in last night. Is that right?
Yeah, last week we arrested two people for breaking into Dave Howard Tires up on 29 north of 9 Mile Road. So we caught one there, and then we went to another house and found some of their property, ended up arresting another guy. So, yeah, we got two burgers. Well, over the weekend, we had another report of a burger taking place at Dave Howard Tires. We go there, we find some equipment that had been stolen. We have a hole in the fence, and we find a bad guy hiding amongst the radios. and we end up putting him in jail. So three people arrested for Dave Howard Tires over the last 2 weeks. I'm not sure what they have at Dave Howard Tires, but someone wants it. I think what happens is
burglar
some of these
catnip
meth
or something.
Heads kind of spread the word that you can get a chainsaw.
You can rob
or
them or you can
there.
Burgle them and they'll be fine. Yeah, okay.
And I'm not
so
sure if they're open or not. Maybe they're closed for a while. Maybe that's what the situation is. But, guys, stop breaking into Dave Howard Tires. We're going to catch you. We got drones. We got dogs. Yeah. And we're gonna look under the tire section.
Last one, we're totally out of time, but I don't want to go without mentioning the guy who ran his own truck over with the trailer he stole on Pittman Avenue, taking it over speed bumps, and then the trailer came off and it ran into his own truck.
Yeah. Well, I hear of other people that don't necessarily hook a trailer up correctly
and it comes
off. I think in their haste, these two thieves, They hooked up a trailer with about $10,000 worth of lawn equipment.
Yeah.
Which kills me because, these people have lawn equipment on a trailer because they're workers, right? They're out there sweating and doing good work and working for a living. And then these two clowns steal it and aren't smart enough to even attach the trailer because they're clearly not workers, right? They don't know what they're doing. And the first speed bump, it comes off and hits the back of the van. We put a picture of the van. It's got some rust on top of it. I don't think we've got the individuals identified. This happened about a week or so ago. But if you want to laugh, take a look at these two bozos and help us out.
All it did to me was it reminded me of the Monty Python sketch with the idiot Olympics when Oliver runs himself over.
And Oliver has run himself over. What a great twit.
That's what I thought of because that's where my brain goes. That's why I wanted to end on that one because it's amazing. Well, your job is never boring. Sheriff Chip Simmons, easiest can be
greatest show on earth right here.
Thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Greatest show on earth right here. I love it. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you are looking for that, not really probably, but if you have to get a new roof, or you're maybe wondering, do I need to replace my roof? Because, maybe there's a leak, or maybe you've seen a problem, or maybe, insurance has told you your roof is 23 years old, son. No, you don't get insurance unless you get a new roof. Okay, well, Quality Roofing Solutions, they'll take care of you for that. Since 2006, for 19 years, Brian Ward founded the company, and they've put in 10,000 roofs locally, rated a 4.9 on Google, which is preposterously high. They do all kinds of local service. They support our Gateway, local youth sports, financial education for kids in Santa Rosa County. At least they did Dave Ramsey stuff for that. All kinds. They just vary into the community. But their goal is just to do it right. To be real people, to talk to you like you're a real person, to do all the things you're supposed to do, and obviously try to keep costs down by doing things very efficiently, which they do an extremely good job of. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
All right. It's a beautiful day for football here at the stadium, and we're just about ready for kickoff. Score 0-0. And suddenly, I'm in the mood for a Coke Zero Sugar. Real Coke taste, zero sugar. Now that's a winning combo. Crisp, refreshing, that hits the spot. When it comes to great taste, Coke Zero Sugar's always on the scoreboard. Coke Zero Sugar, real Coke taste, zero sugar.
Staying healthy after 65 just got easier with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. This means more time with your care team and appointments, more focus on your health needs, plus daily group activities and access to an on-site fitness center. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Accepting patients at 9 Mile Road with a new location on Mobile Highway now open. Visit Ochsner.org/65+Pensacola.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome to Jumanji.
Welcome back, 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It is Jumanji. But you don't get three lives. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Nearly 50 demonstrators were detained Tuesday near the United Nations after attempting to block 2nd Avenue during planned protests. These came as President Trump delivered his speech to the UN General Assembly. Vice President Vance will be in North Carolina today for a fundraiser. It's expected to raise over $2 million. Later, he'll be speaking on public safety in Charlotte following the recent stabbing death of a young Ukrainian refugee on a train.
All right. Very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. More coming up in a minute. Maybe Trump at the UN, maybe Jimmy Kimmel, maybe other stuff, too. Streamer.